podcast is PG, may contain sketchy advice, embarrassing anecdotes, and may not be suitable for parents who think they have their shit together. This is PG with Roxanne Wilder and Mark Jason.
Here's a couple of parents that don't know a lot about parenting.
I don't know.
And don't know about how to be on time with their podcast because we've been so good 4 weeks in a row. And we had it drop every Tuesday. And it's going to drop Wednesday today.
Yeah, that's right. But life happens.
Life happens.
Right. Life happens. So if you're a parent, you're going through it. You're taking... You know, I was talking to a guy the other day, and I said, you know what, being a parent, it's taking live fire. It's like you get up in the morning, and it's like... and you don't know where it's coming from. And it's just... Uh-huh. Yeah.
And things are just so busy and chaotic. That's what we deal with too. So when we picked up or when we last spoke, Mark, you were giving us your scenario, what it's like in your house when you're trying to get the whole family to sleep in their own separate beds. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it works and that's your game plan out the gate. But then sometimes the kids have bad dreams.
And I mean, sometimes like maybe 5% of the times it works. Yeah. It's, I don't know what it is. It's, we're in a funk right now where when it's bedtime, the house is becoming... It's an unsanctioned goat rodeo right now. It is a night. I don't know. We're in this funk where it's like I'm starting to get terrible anxiety about bedtime.
Oh, my wife. I know about that feeling too.
You know that, yes. Right? It's like I have anxiety right now about tonight.
Right.
Why? Like it's driving me crazy lately.
Well, if you have a work meeting, for example, you know that meeting is going to go from 11 to noon, hopefully.
Right.
Or you have the show. For us, we have the show. We know it's going to go from this time to this time, then it's over.
Yeah.
But really, bedtime, it's infinite. We don't know when that's going to happen, when it's going to be, they're going to be asleep, because bedtime could be, all right, let's get you ready for bed, and it takes 5 minutes, or it takes an hour and 5 minutes.
Yeah, and it's like you can't leave and go home because you're already home. Like at work, like I've been in like bad meetings before, unproductive, I've just left. really, you know.
Sorry.
Probably not going to get employee of the year, right? But I've just left. Like, I've just been like, we'll just have to do this meeting later. It's, nothing's working. Nobody's figuring this out.
Right.
But when you're at home, it's like, oh, there's nowhere else to go.
Right. There's nowhere else.
I'm at home base. Yeah. No, so it's crazy. Like, so, you know, with five kids, I already know nothing will go as planned. Okay. I realize that. And my wife realizes that. Like, we get it. But so Charlie, our 7-year-old daughter, is on this new kick. Whenever there's thunder and lightning, she's coming in the bed.
We're in the season.
Right. And, you know, wherever you're listening to this podcast from, so we're down in, you know, we're on the what I call the tip of the tropics here, down in just outside of Tampa, Florida. So it's kind of like we're in that thunderstorm, overnight rain, tropical kind of a thing. So 3 nights a week, she's jumping into bed, right?
You didn't have that problem in Vegas.
No. They didn't have that problem in Vegas at all. And so Trey, he's 5. And so Trey's new thing is nightmares, which I feel bad. Like I have empathy in that whole thing because I had nightmares growing up and I get it. But it's like, okay, you're having nightmares 7 nights a week now. Like, you know, and my thing is to ask him what the nightmares are about, to talk him off the ledge. But he can only remember them twice a week. Or 3 times a week. So I'm like, you're not having nightmares every week. You just love being in our sleep number bed. Shout out to Sleep Number, right? It's a great bed. I would lie to get into it if I had to, right?
Sure.
And then Austin, you know, she usually does a good job staying in her bed. So it's not too bad. It's usually Charlie and Trey that we're going back and forth. But Austin will have a night or two where she'll say like she has a cramp in her legs or something like that. And I'm like, yeah, you don't even know what a cramp is.
Rub some soap on it or put
Dirt on it.
Eat a banana.
I don't know what it is. Rub some dirt on it. Rub some soap on it. Get it done. But but I got to tell you, it changes everything because the sleep quality with bodies, with other bodies, and they're kicking and they're hot. Why are kids? I feel like
are like fire, like fire coals.
Gosh, yes. I wake up and I'm just like, we're on fire. It's like there's a barbecue pit in the bed. And then we have a dog who sleeps in our bed too. And to be honest, I feel really bad for the dog. Because I think a dog's kind of like, man, this is brutal. Everybody's moving and legs and arms are flying and everything like that. And I'll tell you, we've talked to doctors and everything like that. Uh-huh. There is no, I don't care anybody, there's no way to convince your kids before bedtime to not get in your bed.
No, it's almost if you tell them not to, then it plants the seed and they're going to want to.
Right.
I just have to say, Evelyn Jade has, her feet are so hot, and Doug has a pet peeve. He doesn't like it when people refer to feet as dogs. You ever hear people say someone's dogs? Oh, my dogs are, what is that expression? My dogs are hurting or something.
My dogs are barking.
Barking. Yeah. That's it. He hates that. So I do it to annoy him. Oh, this girl has hot dogs.
Yeah.
And but she kicks me with those hot dogs.
I'm telling you, man.
Borderline nosebleeds, and it gets violent. And I don't know what to do about it either. So obviously, when she was first born, she was always in our bed. I'm getting up early. It's a lot easier to have the baby in the bed, even though that's American Pediatric Association says, don't do that. Don't do that. Okay, so don't do what we're saying to do. But anyways, she was nearby me so I could breastfeed in the middle of the night.
Mm-hmm.
But then we just got into that habit. And people tell me all the time, Roxanne, you can get her out of your bed if you just suffer through seven nights, maybe at the most. That's all it takes.
That's
it. Is to sleep train her. And so my thing is, I don't have 5 nights of bad sleep to give up. Like, I am already getting low quality, poor sleep because of my schedule. I can't throw, what am I supposed to get, 4 hours of sleep for 5 nights in a row? I'll be a lunatic.
And that's the thing. Like, there is no, so like, this is good venting, right?
It's venting. We don't have solutions.
No, there's not a solution. I'm just saying, like, because it, like, we're in a funk right now, but trust me, that funk will end and there'll be like 3 months of amazing sleep. And I'll be like, oh, this is great. But here's the problem. I'll get used to that. And I'll assume that this is the new normal. And then
something
will change. They'll watch a scary movie or there'll be a bad storm or something like that. And then I don't know, their clock just immediately is like, I have to get back in that bed. I have actually slept on the floor in my kids' room sometimes to keep them in their bed.
Oh, sure.
Just to do anything so that when they wake up in the middle of the night, they realize, oh, he's already here. And then they go back to bed.
Exactly.
You know, like, sometimes that's what it takes.
Because then you don't get disturbed.
Right.
You're just asleep on the floor.
Yeah, I know. So I don't know. I mean, there really is no answer, but it is one of those things where it seems like to be a funk. It just, it comes and it goes. But it is worse. I think it's worse than a newborn baby waking up in the middle of the night.
Mm-hmm.
Because you get up, you know you got to get to work.
And your adrenaline is going.
Right. Yeah, and you know you have certain tasks. You have to do it in that order. But when you're in the middle of like a beautiful sleep, right? You're just, everything feels so good. And then all of a sudden, like you said, these legs and arms and elbow. Oh, man, I hate an elbow in the middle of the night. Boom. You know what I mean?
Or headbutt.
Yeah, headbutts. You know what I mean? All that stuff. And then wait till they get old and they'll get in your bed and they'll pee in it.
Oh, good. I can't wait for that.
That happened like 2 or 3 weeks ago. And I don't know which kid to blame it on. I think it was Trey.
The poor dog is going to get blamed.
No.
When they get smart.
He would never do that.
Never do that.
No way. Yeah, he would never do that. I would do that before he did it. Trust me. He's the most well-behaved in the house. But that's the worst, is then they get in the bed, and then everything that comes with what they do in their bed and your bed. That happened the other night. I woke up, and I'm like, what is all wet here? And I'm like, oh. And then I saw the little body underneath the covers, and I was like, yep, peed the bed. I'm out of here. So I got up. I took a shower, and I got dressed. And as I'm walking out, my wife was still sleeping.
Uh-huh.
And as I'm walking out, she sort of wakes up. She's like, all right, have a good day. I was like, all right, you too. By the way, Trey peed the bed. See you later. Click, bye-bye-bye. Boom. There is no
answer.
You had
to go, right? You had to just walk out the door then, and he had to go.
Yeah, it comes with it. It's just part of the deal.
So I think Doug is a little bit more bothered by our sleeping setup at this point. He complains more about it. Like, we have to get this done. And I say too, okay, we have to get our sleep trained. We have to do it. So we'll, like you said, we'll have a couple stretches where things will be going well because we've got her where she's almost asleep or fallen asleep. And then we put her in the crib and some nights she lasts through. And then something happens, like she got sick. So the whole family got sick. So then we were all back in the bed together because you don't want to leave a sick child by themselves. So he was out of town recently. And so when he came back into town, sometimes we've even got to the point where if I have a really, really, really bad week and I'm just exhausted, I'm not sleeping well, because also hormonally too, it affects women and you're not able to sleep as well. And I'm like, I'm dying. I need to go sleep by myself. So I'll do that. And then I'll say, so the baby slept with you last night? He's like, I didn't want to move her.
See?
You know, I just wanted to keep her. So there's also that nurturing aspect where is it comfortable? No, but you just love being with the baby. And then I don't get to wake up with her. So there's also a comfort.
And if everybody's sleeping.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if everybody's sleeping, you know.
If that's happening.
Listen, I've heard the argument too, you know, as couples get get older and their kids get older, how some couples will start to, they'll want to actually sleep in different rooms.
I know, because one snores and sure.
Yeah, a lot of different reasons. And I mean, I know couples that have built a home and they've had two master mm-hmm. bedrooms built because they've just realized years and years of just not good sleep.
I know.
You need to sleep. Mm-hmm. I mean, you have to, you know, you have to get your own quiet, kind of private sleep. And I used to be, I think everyone in the beginning, like, you know, I was like, that's so weird. That's so weird. Now I'm kind of like, oh, that sounds pretty good.
Well, what's better? You go to bed and you're like, good night, honey. Mwah. And then you wake up in the morning and you're like, good morning. I slept so great. Let's have a cup of coffee.
I feel amazing.
Chit-chat.
Right.
And now we'll have a great day.
Right.
Which brings me to my next point. So one of my doctors, not my OBGYN, surprisingly, but one of my doctors said to me at one point when we were talking about the baby, and he said, so what are the sleeping arrangements? I said, well, she's still in the bed with us. He goes, well, how do you have sex? And I said, we're okay. Well, that's fine. That's no big deal. That's no problem there. In other words, not everybody, okay, good night, honey. It's nighttime now. Let's pull the covers up. Yeah. And like, you can have an afternoon delight. You right. can have right. wake up in the morning. You know,
how do we have sex? Like high school. We go out and get in the car in the garage and do it. It's nice and quiet out there. That's how we do it.
That is so funny when you start talking about people and they have strong opinions about why your child's in your bed and why your child shouldn't be in your bed. They're always thinking to themselves, well, you must not have a good romantic life. And right. it's like, no, we're fine. Yeah. We're just.
I know. Yeah. I know. And it's funny because when you become a parent and when you go through it, you start to see kind of how you used to feel.
Yes.
Like, I admit I'm guilty. I used to have judgments about parents when I wasn't one.
Oh, absolutely.
And now
it's easy too.
I feel like I'm being judged on the same stuff I judge other people. And I just sit back and look at those people and I go, you poor little souls. You have so much to learn. You know, one day you will also enter the kingdom.
Oh my goodness. Okay. So one of the other things that's so crazy about being a parent is the busy schedules. Mm. And whether it's work that's taking up, you know, that you're fighting that work-life balance, something else in the mix, kids' sports. And I know you're in the thick of things right now because school started back, so you've got kids doing all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, right now we're Austin, and so she's a six-year-old girl. I have to always say that, too, because the girls have boy names, so I don't, you know, confuse people, mm-hmm. but she's a six-year-old girl. She's in cross-country. And
see, I knew Austin was a girl because I referred to her earlier as a girl.
Yeah,
right?
I'm picking up on this stuff. Yeah. And then, so she's in cross country and she's very competitive, very fast. She's always been very fast. She's very small. She was a premature. She was a preemie baby and had a lot of problems when she first came out, but super healthy now.
Isn't that amazing? And, like, you can be so worried when she's going through all that and then they turn into these super strong humans.
Oh, and she's like the toughest. Mm-hmm. I mean, out of all of them.
Right,
it's just
the little,
like,
run to the litter.
Crazy. It's exactly right. It's almost like, you know, she was used to having to fight the battles.
Mm-hmm.
So now, like, she doesn't need to because she's healthy, but it's still in her DNA. Like, I'm a fighter. So we take her to cross country and she's six. And so it's from 6 to 15 years old. She's the youngest one in there doing this cross country thing. And I noticed, like, the first couple of practices, there's some other girls who are like 8, 9 years old or whatever, and Austin's running, but then she would intentionally stop and walk so that the other girls would catch up and she would talk with them and kind of like, and I'm sitting there and all right, the first practice, I'm like, okay, she's six, you know, whatever.
Right.
But I'm pretty competitive.
Oh, sure.
I mean, I'm pretty competitive. And I'm kind of like, all right, first practice, second practice, same thing. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And
she's fast enough to beat them, but she's slowing down.
She's slowing down. She
hang out with
she
them.
Was like competing with the older boys, mm-hmm. but she would look behind her and notice that these particular girls had stopped and they were walking. They were tired. I mean, it's hot and everything like that. So she would stop and talk to them. Well, the third practice, the coaches were timing it.
Mm-hmm.
She stopped and added like over a minute. And I am losing my mind on the side. Now, it was all internal rage. I didn't show it. I was just sitting there in my mind.
Honey?
I'm like, I cannot believe this. You are losing to talk with your friends. And so afterwards, it was just me and her at this practice. So we had a ride. We had an interesting conversation on the ride home.
Uh-huh.
And I said, Austin, what are you trying to do in a race? And she said, I guess you have to win. And I said, right. I said, so sometimes.
There's a clear-cut objective. Yes.
Right. I said, you know, it's like 93 degrees. It's very hot. Daddy's very tired. And if we're going to come out here, I was like, you should try your best to win. Now, I talked with some other people about this, and I would say about 60% of people disagree with me. And they said, mm-hmm. nope, you shouldn't do that. This is a time for socialization. Mm. I said, you know what? I can't buy
it. That's an interesting call. 6 years old. Okay.
Yep. And I said, sorry, I can't buy into every kid gets a trophy mm-hmm. or no matter what you want to do, when you want to do it, it's okay because you're six.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not saying I want the expectation is to win every race, but I have taken the stand while you are racing or competing, whatever it is. It doesn't mm-hmm. have to be athletic. It could be a spelling bee. I mean, sure. it could be whatever. You know, you should try to compete if you're there to compete. So we
absolutely.
Had
absolutely
right. So my wife and I, we're counseling her because she has her first meet,
and she has the competitive fighter spirit. Right. So embrace it
and ability mm-hmm. and ability. So we're talking about it. We're talking about it. We're talking about it. We're talking about it. Her first race comes. Okay, first race comes, and the day before the race, I said, Austin, tomorrow's go time. I want you to win. And I thought mm-hmm. to myself, I don't know. I'm going to tell her I want her to win because mm-hmm. I do. I want her to win. We get there.
You're not in the stands rooting for her to get third place.
Right. Just try. Like, and I really don't care what place you go into as long as you try. Stopping and waiting for your friends was very nice of her. Mm-hmm. You know, because she said they're my friends and I don't want to leave them and stuff. And I said, sometimes during competition, you're on your own. Mm-hmm. And you got to be on your own, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the night of the race, right before the race, I recited to her right before the start line, and I got the audio. Here's the audio right here. First night, cross country. Austin's got the big race. All right, Austin, what's the plan for tonight?
Have fun and win.
Have fun and win?
Yeah.
And talk to your friends.
After the race.
All right, so there it is, right? She uh-huh. she says, I'm going to try to win the race, and I'm not going to stop and talk to my friends. We go. I'm going crazy. I'm excited. I'm pumped up. And right at the start line, and I'm going, okay, here we go. And she goes and goes and goes. And they turn the first corner, and she's blowing past her friends, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, no, please keep going. Please go on. Please keep going. She starts to turn around another turn. She's running the 400, by right. the way, right? Her head starts to turn around. But no, then she keeps forward again.
Oh, good,
and she goes
good.
And goes and goes and goes. And she never turns around. She does her best. It was unbelievable. She was the first girl to finish the 400.
Wow.
Fourth overall to finish.
Mm-hmm.
So total girl power.
So she's beating some boys, too.
Here she was right after the race. All right, Austin, race is over. What happened?
I was the first girl who won the race.
The first girl who won the race?
Yeah.
Austin. We call that girl power, right?
Yeah.
Good job, Austin.
Thank you.
And so you can hear that she, you know, she was the first girl and we were doing the whole girl power thing. And it was awesome. I was so proud of her. But I thought to myself, see, that gives me some legitimacy about my angle on that was she understood that she was there to win, but she didn't know that it had or try to win. I should just try to win. It's not about winning, but mm-hmm. just trying competing. But sometimes you have to say you have to prioritize.
Sure.
You know? I know a lot of parents I got jumped on by a lot of people about that. They're like, she's too young for that, this and that. And I said, no. I think teaching the competitive spirit is always a good thing, no mm-hmm. matter how old,
mm-hmm.
you know, and not winning, losing, whatever, but the competitive spirit.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. And I have other, okay, so we're not to that stage yet with Evelyn Jade, but I know of a good friend of ours who his son was on a hockey team and he's like 11 years old and they went to the championship and they got smoked by their competitor.
Right.
So guess what? They all got trophies because that's the day and age.
Mm.
And so he just says he came skating off the ice with that trophy and he's smiling ear to ear. And I just looked at him and we got in the car and I said, son, you are not putting that trophy up anywhere in your room.
Yep.
Because it defeats the purpose of what were you trying to do?
It really does. And I guess if you're going to have a participation trophy, I mean, fine, but mm-hmm. just make it clear. It's for participation.
Right.
Like you really did, you know what I mean? So
it's so tricky because you're trying to do everything to increase their self-esteem,
mm-hmm.
have them enjoy sports, have them enjoy things as pastimes. Not everybody is going to go on to be a track star in the Olympics or
most
except for Austin, maybe.
No, I don't even know it that. I just wanted her to kind of taste
right.
the competitive, like, this is why we're here. Because, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, I encourage my kids to be very social and
sure.
you know,
and there's time for that.
And there's plenty of time. There's tons of time for that. But that time is not necessarily when we're going to kind of explore your your competitive side you know, and things like that. So I actually think it's a good thing, because if you took that line of thought and when they went to school, it'd almost be like telling the teacher, oh, they're only six. I mean, if they want to sit in the corner and talk and not learn, that's fine. They're six.
That's a great analogy.
That's not what this is for right now. You know what I mean? Like right now. What would Doug do? Because, see, I feel like guys were all like, boom, 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 competitive. But I do know some fathers that are very the other side of it and like, nope, it's just about fun. Don't care.
So he would probably, I'm trying to picture right now because he's a big golfer. Ooh. He would.
That's a competitive sport.
Right. Yeah. I'm picturing him teaching her. He's pretty laid back. I actually think I can already kind of see my daughter's personality. And I think we may have to go the other way with her.
Hmm.
Because she's already showing those signs of being very possessive and I want what I want. So we might have to pull her back a little bit and say, have fun. Don't. She's very determined.
Sure. Oh, I love that though.
Right. See, she's a Taurus like you.
Yeah, I love
that. Yep. So we might have to work backwards with her and say, have some fun, honey. Lighten up.
I wouldn't do it. I would let her DNA, seriously, I would let her DNA just, I would just light that DNA on fire.
Throw that golf club if you want to.
I absolutely would. I mean, and especially in a sport like that, it's like cross country. It is an individual sport. Mm-hmm. So you are in a large sense competing against yourself.
Right.
You know what I mean? And so, but I love that fire. I think there's so much you can do with that. Mm-hmm. I would rather be in a position where you may have to slightly contain some of that passion and drive, sure, rather than the other way of like,
you've got to light a fire under them to get them to do anything. Right.
You've been playing video games for 3 months. Mm-hmm. Can we go outside for a minute and get some sunlight, you know?
Okay. We have to switch gears for just a minute. I've got to tell you about something I did last week, Mark, and you may have seen it. I don't know if you saw it online, but I did Cool Sculpting online.
Oh,
did you see
I saw that? The tease, the Facebook tease. Roxanne's going to get in Cool Sculpting. And hold on a second. Is this a thing like you have to like get naked and get in this frozen chamber?
Yes, it was great for our Facebook Live ratings. Right, I bet. It was really good. You don't have to get naked. You have to just basically pull the band of your pants down a little bit, so you're just seeing kind of your love handle areas. At least that's what I did. People go in and get Cool Sculpting for their arms, their stomach, whatever the case may be. So it was a great experience because obviously I got the service and the people were wonderful. Holcomb Kraithen Plastic Surgery and Dermatology in Carrollwood. But I also want to talk a little bit about the feedback that, you know, we got online.
Mm.
And so for all the people who watched and said, thanks for the information and a lot of positive comments. But it is funny in the work that we're in, but this can apply to anybody in any walk of life. You really put yourself out there when you do certain things. And so I wanted to do this because I wanted to tell other women, especially those, whether you've had a child or not. But for me, my personal story is I had a baby. I know exactly what my body looked like before. Mm-hmm. It's changed a little bit. And I'd love to say, woohoo, yay, look, it's changed. And I'm so happy about it. And I'm proud that I birthed this child. Yes, I am. But if the technology exists to tighten up those love handles, why not take advantage of it? And if you have something about yourself that you want to fix, not you, Mark, but I mean other women, that was my message to them.
I got plenty of things I'd like to fix. Trust me.
So it just is funny, but we had, like I said, a lot of great feedback. And then some people were like, hey, you're too skinny to be doing that. Why are you? And I kind of took that as a compliment more so, like, okay, great, that's nice. But then we'd have a couple on there.
The haters came out?
Yeah. A little bit. And I just wanted to address that in life. And I thought to myself, damn, you can't do anything on the internet. You can't be too fat. You can't be too skinny. You can't be just right. It's amazing.
Yeah. You know, it's true. They're everywhere. And that's never going to go away. Think about the kids that have to deal with it these days. Like, you know, we're adults.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
Right.
And then the kids have to deal with it. What's your...
The drama of people in the social media world. And that's what our children are going to grow up. And they don't know any different.
The mom.
We know different. We know life before people kind of just feeling the obligation or right to attack you, and they don't even know you.
Social media mob, right? And that's like, that's the new thing where, and if one does it, then the rest of them will come piling on.
Yes.
What I've noticed too sometimes is like somebody will just, you know, they don't word it right. What they say is, you know, it's just poorly articulated. But then that comment or whatever is a magnet for the haters.
I didn't think about that.
And it's like, wait a minute, you're hating on me based on this first person that really probably didn't just articulated this terribly wrong. Mm-hmm. And now everybody's going crazy and everything like that. But, you know, good for you. I still think that brave people get a lot of credit. Good for you for doing that. I think it's cool. So what is your problem area like since
it's just,
the love
just
handles, little, you think?
Yes, and you know what? It's funny because I really felt like I was holding it together. I worked out the whole time I was pregnant.
Yeah.
I mean, not intensely, but did a little cardio every day. And then my belly was really the only place that I carried most of my weight up until I delivered. But then Doug took a picture. I said, hey, can you take this picture of me from behind? I actually was trying to see my tan lines because we went somewhere. And I saw my back, my haunches. I don't know if that's a word, but that's what I call this part of the
haunches.
Love handles. And I'm like, where's my waist? What happened?
I've never heard of haunches.
I just made that word up, but it sounds like fitting for this.
Right.
And so I realized, oh, Roxanne, in order for that big ball that you've got in front of your stomach to be weighted down, you have to have this extra place here. Anyways, that's what I address. It is a minor problem. And then one person was like, look at her whining about, I'm not whining about my body. I love my body.
Yeah.
I just happen to be saying, hey, this is what I'm doing. If you want to try it, go for it. Well, because it's for all body types. That's very factual information.
Right. And then, but you went and did something about it. And mm-hmm. that's what everybody says, you know, don't whine, do something about it. And then you go and do something about it and they're still not happy. See, it's like, that's the ultimate hater.
Right.
Those are the haters where it's like, but I'm actually putting myself out here. Mm-hmm. You know, I always compare it like life and business and marketing to sports. And I'm a guy, so it's just natural for me doing the sports analogy mm-hmm. thing. It's like the players on the field, like they don't listen to the fans. They don't. And the fans think that they do, but it's like, you guys don't understand. No. They're out there, you hecklers and everything. You're paying $100.
They're at work. That's their job.
You're buying $20 beers, right? You're sitting out there roasting in the sun. Those players, you're not affecting them. And so I always tell people too, those are they're on the sidelines.
Mm-hmm.
But like you in that situation, you were a player. You were on the field executing your game plan.
I like that analogy.
Your life.
Okay.
And so there you get some heckler sitting up in the bleachers,
right,
up in the 400s or whatever, mm-hmm. you know, who's just angry and drunk and screaming. And it's like, but you know, you're not accomplishing anything.
Right.
You're not making the person on the field better.
Uh-huh.
You're just making an ass of yourself.
I know.
So yeah,
it's
so
crazy.
You're on the field. But I do think about the kids who do that. And I've seen it. I've seen meltdowns amongst, you know, teenagers and stuff online. And it's like, man, it's like, it's unfair. But you have to realize most people aren't in the game. They're hecklers.
That's a really good way to look at it. So this is what I do and how I'll try to raise my daughter, because it's just crazy to think she's going to be growing up. Your kids are going to be growing up. And that's going to be a staple as to how they communicate with one another. It is how we do as adults now. We just know that there was a different world prior to all of this, where you had face-to-face accountability,
yep,
or voice-to-voice accountability. But I feel like whenever I read a text message, or excuse me, a social media message, especially if it's from someone I don't know or don't know well, and it seems like it has a negative tone, I just take it at its highest value. Like whatever it is, I assume the very best. I assume that they meant the very best possible meaning that could have, because as we know, a lot of things like that get lost in translation. They get lost in that sort of medium. And I respond accordingly. So then that person, if they were trying to insult me, then they feel bad because they're like, wow, this person has so much confidence. I was trying to insult them and they didn't even bite.
Right.
And then, or they think, or if they weren't trying to insult me, then it's all good.
Yeah.
I assumed correctly. If someone's being a blatant internet hater, either I ignore them or I'm like, oh, great. Keep spreading that internet love.
Yeah.
Really, you just want to tell your kids, don't get sucked into that drama. Don't think about it. It's meaningless.
Yeah, no, I don't think there's anything wrong. I mean, you have to understand we're in 2018. At some point, you're going to have to tell your kids, hey, some people suck,
mm-hmm.
and that's just the way it is.
Right.
I just wouldn't put any time into it, like mm-hmm. even trying to figure out what they're about, because
right.
again, I'm such an action guy. Like, no, those were your actions. That's what you did. Maybe you'll regret it one day. Maybe you won't. But in that moment in time, you sucked. I'm moving on,
uh-huh.
and I don't want to deal with it, and I certainly don't want my kids to deal with it. Now, they're going to have to be exposed to it.
Right.
But I think just like, hey, you just got to realize
some people suck. Turn into one of those crazy moms like, if I take things personally for myself, oh my gosh, what about for your kids? You know, I never want someone to try to hurt their feelings or be mean to them. Like, we have to deal with that as adults.
It's
I don't want that
happen.
For my child. And it's going to happen.
It's going to happen. But listen, it's like anything else, right? And I think as your daughter gets older, you and Doug will see, like, even now, and I know you know this, that she's watching and learning so many
mm-hmm.
things.
Observation.
So
right.
if you're just focused and strong, it's the best opportunity. But like we talked about before, right? She's already throwing golf clubs and she's possessive and everything. So her DNA it seems like right now is of the things like, I'm going to put up with that.
Right. She's her own person.
Which I think is good. And again, I just my two cents, because it's how I do my kids. I never steer them from their DNA.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
because
I like this.
When you start trying to, I mean, for me, that's like lobotomy stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, you know what, you do this and I'm going to change that about you. No, I will reinforce focus and try to teach things like sympathy, maybe empathy, maybe just steering,
basic human
steering
goodness
aspects. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But I don't want to totally take their compass and make north, south, mm-hmm. east, west, because the DNA will always win.
That's
who they are. And that DNA is a product of you mm-hmm. and Doug, right? So it's a special recipe.
It's nature and nurture. Yes.
Right. And I think a lot of it too is we forget that because as a parent, and I get selfish like this before, I have in the past to be like, God, I would never say that. I would never do that. And in my mind, I have to go, but that's a special blend.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Okay.
Like, uh-huh. I know I wouldn't, but I don't have those ingredients. Mm-hmm. My ingredients are something else. Mm-hmm. And it think of like a buffalo wing sauce, right? Maybe I'm like medium buffalo. Okay. But maybe your daughter's more teriyaki or whatever. You know what I'm saying? Like there's a special recipe. You uh-huh. can never understand it because it's a special mix
right.
of you and Doug, and he could never understand uh-huh. it. So I think you just have to work with it, right? Like you just have to work with it.
I like
and
that.
I would never steer away from DNA, adding focus and some guidance.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's great. You know, I do think the best strategy always is to realize who they are, put the sail up. The wind's going to blow that way, but you know, maybe give them some guidance on how to read the. Really, I think
wing sauce and boat analogies. You are a,
I don't know what's going
an
on.
Analogy.
I know
kind of guy. I love it.
I am. I'm one of these guys. I got to kind of understand. It's like when I read books and people say uh-huh. things, and I'm like, I heard what you just said, but I don't really get it. You know, so I try to come up with analogies so you can kind of be like, oh, I sort of.
Uh-huh.
I don't
uh-huh.
know. Maybe the buffalo wing sauce was weird.
No,
I'm craving wings right now.
I'm
if
picturing
you can't
no. It's lunchtime. It is lunchtime.
Right.
So
this is what parents do. We don't have a plan. I don't know what it is. I how did you know in 20 years? Like, how'd you get through five kids? I'm like, I don't know. I compared them all to buffalo wings. I mean, it's just my secret.
Yes, that's the secret sauce.
That's right. Secret sauce.
So I feel right now. I feel comforted. I feel like I have new ideas on how to approach things. And I also feel terrified thinking of all the things that my daughter is going to face in life. So that's kind of what we want the listeners to feel,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, but what a great story you have to tell her. Hey, in 2018, I went to this cool sculpting and it was a very personal thing and people hated on me. And I just totally just, you know what I mean? Like,
yes.
That's kind of a good thing. You can look
it
at
is.
It's,
it
hey,
is.
You know what? This is a good email thing. I told you last week.
Oh my gosh.
Did
that's
you all set
one.
Up an email yet?
We did.
Good. This
mm-hmm.
is a great story. You know, I was doing this and And people came at me a little bit, and I thought about you and what it would be like when you got older, and I just wanted to tell you, be strong. I had to, you know what I mean?
I love that.
This is email
stuff.
Yeah.
I'm going to go do that.